Today's scripture reading is in Numbers 12, verse 1 to 16. Numbers 12, 1 to 16. And the title is The Redempt Historical Reason for Moses Marrying a Cushite Woman, Part 2. The subtitle is Why Miriam Was Struck with Leprosy. Why Miriam Was Struck with Leprosy. I'd like to read Numbers 12, verse 1 to 16. Then Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Cushite woman whom he had married, for he had married a Cushite woman. And they said, Has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us as well? And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very humble, more than any man who was on the face of the earth. And suddenly the Lord said to Moses and Aaron and to Miriam, You three come out to the tent of meeting. So the three of them came out. Then the Lord came down in a pillar of a cloud and stood at the doorway of the tent, and he called Aaron and Miriam. When they had both come forward, he said, Hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, shall make myself known to him in a vision. I shall speak with him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my household. With him I speak mouth to mouth, even openly, and not in dark saying. And he behold the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant, against Moses? So the anger of the Lord burned against them as he departed. But when he could have withdrawn from over the tent, behold, Miriam was leprous, as white as snow. As Aaron turned toward Miriam, behold, she was leprous. Then Aaron said to Moses, O my Lord, I beg you, do not account this sin to us in which we have acted foolishly and in which we have sinned. Oh, do not let her be like one dead whose flesh is half eaten away when he comes from his mother's womb. And Moses cried out to the Lord, saying, O God, hear her, I pray. But the Lord said to Moses, If her father had but spit in her face, would she not bear her shame for 7 days? Let her be shut out for 7 days outside the camp, and afterward she may be received again. So Miriam was shut up outside the camp for 7 days, and the people did not move on until Miriam was received again. Afterward, however, the people's moved out from the Hezron and camped in the wilderness of Paran. This is the word of God. In our previous discussion, we examined why Moses married the Cushite woman from a redemptive historical perspective. Moses' decision to take a Cushite wife was not solely his own, but was in accordance with God's command. However, Aaron and Miriam, who could not see Moses' action from God's redemptive perspective and instead judged him based on their own understanding, faced God's wrath for speaking against him. Miriam was struck with leprosy for her actions and was driven out of the camp for a week, and her slander of Moses ultimately led to her death a year before she and Aaron entered the land of Canaan. Miriam and Aaron, like Moses, were leaders of Israel. When they crossed the Red Sea, all the Israelites who had been afraid of the Egyptian army that was following them became fearful of God and believed in Moses. They all sang songs of praise to God. Then Miriam took a small drum and danced, and all The woman that danced alone with her. At that time, the God called Miriam a prophet. You can see that Exodus chapter 15, verse 20. And Miriam, the prophet's Aaron's sister, took the timbrel in her hands. Miriam was actually the woman who saved Moses when Jochebed, her mother, was commanded to kill all the male children of Israel in Egypt by throwing them into the Nile River as soon as they were born. She saw beautiful on Moses' face and trusted that God would walk through her son, so she hid and nursed him for 3 months, risking her own life. As Moses grew older and could no longer be hidden, his mother made a basket of wicker, coated it with the tar and the peach, and placed it among the reeds by the Nile River. She then appointed her daughter Miriam to keep watch over it. At that time, the Pharaoh's daughter came down to the river to bathe and saw the basket among the reeds. When she opened it, she found a crying baby. Seeing that he was dressed, she realized that he was a Hebrew. At the moment, Jochebed, Miriam, is boldly approached the princess and asked if she should find a Hebrew woman to nurse the child. She then called Jochebed to nurse him. It is not recorded in the Bible, but Jochebed prayed to God to save the child, and Miriam immediately knew the location of the Egyptian river where the princess bathed and placed the reed box with Moses in it. And when the child cried, Miriam, who was wise and agile, ran and introduced Jochebed as the nurse. You can see the Exodus chapter 2. Aaron was also Moses' older brother, and he was used by God to be Moses' mouthpiece in the Exodus, standing right in front of him and speaking God's words. You can find out at the Exodus chapter 6, verse 31. He did as God commanded and brought down the plagues of Egypt. You can find out the frogs and the plague of the gnats. And God made him the first priest, and the sacrifice were offered through him. But he died on Mount Hor 8 months before they entered Canaan because of his involvement with Miriam and this event, and because he led the worship of the golden calf. You can see the Exodus chapter 32, and because he helped Moses strike the law to bring forth water at Mount Sinai, is the Numbers chapter 20. In this way, Miriam and Aaron were chosen as helpers to Moses in fulfilling God's mission. However, God granted Moses an even greater authority, allowing him to see God as he truly is and to understand his profound depth. Because Moses was regarded as a faithful servant before God. You can see that the Numbers chapter 12, verse 7 to 8. Not so with my servant Moses, the scripture says, he is faithful in all my household, with him I speak mouth to mouth, even openly, and not in dark saying, and he behold the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant, against Moses? God spoke to Moses about his spiritual superiority to the others, to Miriam and Aaron. First, he says he is faithful in all my household. This is God's recognition of Moses' faithfulness and the loyalty as the leader of Israel. Exodus, this is my whole house, including Miriam and Aaron. God considered Moses to be the greatest prophet of the Old Testament, serving as a shadow of Jesus Christ. You can see that Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 10. Since then, No prophet has risen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. He was also said to be a witness of Jesus and servant of God's work. And according to the Hebrew chapter 3, verse 5, now Moses was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which were to spoken later. But Jesus was faithful as a son in all the house of God. You can see the Hebrew chapter 3, verse 6, but Christ was faithful as a son, over his house, whose house we are. In the house of God, Jesus was royal as a son, and Moses was royal as a servant. While the loyalty is the same, there is a distinct difference between walking at the level of a son and walking at the level of a servant. This is because a servant cannot know his master's business. Jesus Christ spoken in the John chapter 15, verse 15, for the slave does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Whereas in the Old Testament, Moses was a shadow of Jesus, working on a sonship level. Miriam and Aaron's spiritual relationship with Moses in today's passage can only be seen as that of sons and servant. As servant, they cannot know the things of their master, God. Only as a son can he hear from his master, the Father, face to face and clearly. I'd like to read one more time, John 15, 15. I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. But the slave does not know what his master is doing. So God made Moses a friend and revealed all his secret to him. You can see that the Exodus chapter 33, verse 11, thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face, just as a man speaks to his friend when Moses returned to the camp. God placed Moses in the position of a son as a friend and revealed all things to him, not hiding them. You can see today's scriptures in Numbers chapter 12, verse 8. With him I spoke mouth to mouth, even openly and not in dark things, and he behold the form of the Lord. Above all, Moses had the ministry and authority of one intercessor. When he led the people out of Egypt and into the wilderness, about 600,000 peoples and about 2 million peoples, not one of them had any knowledge of God's plan or the journey through the wilderness. If you were to choose a reader to read, who would you choose? Would you choose someone with a strong temperament, or would you choose someone who was meek? God chose Moses because he was meek. In fact, 40 years ago, there was no one with a stronger character than Moses. He struck down an Egyptian for harassing the Israelite. If Moses had continued to have that kind of character, he would have immediately dealt with those who blamed and complained against God. Moses would have disciplined the people before God could discipline them, resulting in many deaths. Everyone would have run away. Such a way of leading the Israelites would have failed to reveal God's love and mercy and God's power. Instead, Moses' gentleness encompassed the grumbling and complaining of those who did not know God. He was a human, and when things were too difficult for him, but he prayed to God with a sorrowful heart. When God was about to wipe out the Israelites for their unrelenting grumbling and complaining, Moses prayed to God repeatedly in intercession, asking that his name might be blotted out of the book of life, that his wrath might be relieved. You can see that Exodus chapter 32, verse 32, Moses prayed like that. But now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, please blow me out of from thy book which thou hast written. And also, you can see that the Exodus chapter 34, verse 9, he prayed like that. O Lord, I pray, let the Lord go along in our midst, even though the people are so obstinate, and do thou pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us as thine own possessions. And also, he prayed in the Exodus chapter 32, verse 12, for the Israelite. With evil intent, he brought them out to kill them in the mountains and to destroy them from the face of the earth. Turn from thy burning anger and charge thy mind about doing harm to thy peoples. Moses' intercessory prayer to God was that if he wiped out the Israelites, it would be said that God has incapable of leading them and that he killed them because he hates them. Only Moses could offer this prayer to God. Miriam and Aaron, who had harbored the feelings of spiritual inferiority toward Moses, seized the opportunity when he took a Cushite wife to slander him. If they had made them their leaders, they would have been like Satan's, accusing God day and night whenever the Israelites complained and grumbled against God and themselves. The same is true of today's event. Miriam and Aaron joined forces to slander and accuse Moses, and he did nothing in response. The Bible said of this from the Numbers chapter 12, verse 2 to 3, I like to read. And they say, has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us as well? And the Lord heard it. The verse 3, now the man Moses was very humble, more than any man who was on the face of the earth. He is testifying that Moses was the humblest of all the men on earth. He must have been praying like Jesus in his heart. Let's look at the Luke chapter 23, verse 34. But Jesus was saying, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Moses would have said to God, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing, for they are slandering me, even though they were slandering him in their excitement. They knew that when Moses received the word from God, he was different from them. I like to read Exodus chapter 34, verse 29 to 30. And it came about when Moses was coming down from Mount Sinai, and the two tablets of the testimony were in Moses' hand as he was coming down from the mountain. Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because of his speaking with him. So when Aaron and all the sons of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. they should have recognized his authority and position, but they were jealous of Moses' closeness to God and his role as a leader, just as the Pharisees and the scribes were jealous of Jesus and wanted to kill him out of envy and fear when the crowds of following him grew. The slander they spewed against Moses was so damaging to his leadership that it hindered his ability to lead the people of Israel. This is not to say that there should be unconditional submission to a leader, but that if a leader is truly believed to be God's chosen one and is doing what he says, then obedience to him or her is the only way the community can be whole and not become fodder for Satan's. The descendant of Korah, in charge of God's ark and holy of holies, rebelled against Moses and Aaron. In the Numbers chapter 16, verse 3, how do they listen to them? I like to read. They assembled together against Moses and Aaron and said to them, "You have gone far enough, for all the congregations are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is in their midst. So why do you exalt yourself above the assembly of the Lord?" All who believe in God are holy, yet Moses and Aaron have elevated themselves excessively and are ruling over the people of Israel. Though they spoke as if they had a strong faith in God, they saw Moses and Aaron merely as fellow humans and did not recognize the sovereignty of God who appointed them. This lack of acknowledgement led them to voice their complaint and challenge their leadership. According to the law, chapter 13, verse 1 and 2, is God talk to us, "Let every person be in subjection to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. Therefore, he who resists authority has opposed the audience of God, and they who have obsessed opposes will receive the condemnation upon themselves." In fact, the reason why humans are jealous and envious of others is because they evaluate themselves in relation to others. However, those who have received the office and the positions from God with true gratitude should not compare and evaluate themselves with others, but rather ask themselves, "What is the meaning and the position of my existence before God? How should I carry out the gift and office that God has entrusted to me so that God's heart is pleased?" Those who ask God over and over again are those who are truly loyal to God. Let's close by finding and reading the scripture together. Please open your Bible, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. I'd like to read. "Siezach, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you. Leave everything in the hands of God's power. May they all be those who are patient in all matters, leaving all dispositions to God, but rather desiring to be recognized and praised by the Father who knows their circumstance better than anyone else. In the name of the Lord. Amen."